Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Bronx Pinstripes proudly brings to you the most interesting Yankee podcast in the world, George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And hey, it's a day to be a Yankee fan. Dude, how about with those weed lungs? I held that. I'm fucking Adele right now.
That was impressive. That reminds me what like in the national anthem when they do and the home of the brave and they try and stretch it out for the national anthem. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, we're back. We were just like talking for a minute. It honestly feels like we were at a baseball game with Chris Long. It's been black since then. And now I just like woke up.
It's a rebirth. I feel like we do. There are two times of the year. There's baseball time and there's non-baseball time. Like there is a part of us that goes into hibernation after the season ends.
100%. I watch whatever my wife wants. I've seen all 5 episodes of Yellowstone in the last like 4 weeks. Anything she wants, whatever my baby wants on TV, my baby fucking gets. March 30th. Get the fuck out of here. 7 p.m. every night. Main TV, we're putting the girls to bed, we're in the bath. Oh, maybe you're doing most of the bath and I'm headed in the hallway like out, but it's also on my phone.
Yeah.
But like, we are back. We've made it through winter. You're a dad now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm excited to see how that changes your season. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, I got a lot of energy right now. You know, a lot of energy for the podcast, for the people. We always say, like, we're not the biggest podcast. We're not, like, super dedicated. We're not doing all offseason, like, well, if you could redo the 1961 Yankees, like, what would be the big thing? Like, we have no interest in that. God bless everyone who does it. I don't need to talk about every trade, every rumor, every time, like, Gary Sanchez is wearing his ex's clothes to work out. Like, that's going to get us to, you know, bring him back. Can't talk about all that as it happens live. But I will tell you, I have not had less optimism about a team winning the World Series than I have for this team since like 2014.
Oh, man. Wow. I figured you'd be down. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure you'd be that down because look here.
We're not a bad team.
We're not.
I want to make that clear. Yeah. We're not a bad team. I just don't think we did it. I don't think we did whatever it is we needed to do yet.
No, I agree. It just feels like another team that's going to, you know, beat the Guardians or the Twins in 4 or 5 games in the DS and then get punked by the Astros again. I mean, I will say I am fired up about the rotation. Like our 1 through 4 should be as good as anybody's, but the lineup hasn't gotten any better.
Lineup hasn't gotten any better. It's gotten more expensive. We have the same lineup for more money. We're paying more for the same thing with the reality being that we're probably getting less than we got in the past.
Probably. And my main issue is that Cashman and Howe basically used the Benintendi injury excuse for the reason that they lost to the Astros. And then they let him walk. So it's like you're saying he's, you know, not having him was the reason we lost. And then you didn't re-sign him or sign any left fielder. That's my issue.
I don't know that Brian Cashman has done anything besides negotiate in a mirror for his own contract. Because, I mean, everyone's talked about it. Hal got Judge.
Yes.
Hal, you know, which again, I've complained about, but like, what are you doing in Italy during the winter meetings?
That's hilarious.
Like, what are you doing? So he got him. Also came out of pocket to get Rodon. It's not it's the best available pitcher for the most money in the biggest market. It's not the hardest thing to do. So what else have we done? And now there is still spring training. There is, you know, there's still the beginning of the season. But, you know, yeah, the rotation's better, but we lost Montas. Like, we thought he's going to bounce back and be anything.
Didn't think that. Other people thought that. I had no hope for him.
We hope, we dream, you know, you hope he's a good number four. Like, I'd rather have him be the five than not available.
No, you're right. Than Clark Schmidt or Herman. Yeah, no, I hear you. I think Rodon's going to be a force, though. I am really – he seems like his makeup, power lefty, seems like he's going to embrace the moment. I'm really excited. He's got that wipeout slider, throws 100. I think he's going to be a lot of fun on the days that he pitches, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. It's always – there is – I like the beard rule, but the first time you see a guy without the beard, there is a little like, ew.
I think Rodon's going mustache, yeah.
I needed a clean shave and was just like, this isn't intimidating. Like, your curveball hangs with this face. So you throw add the mustache and it adds a couple inches of drop.
Add some RPM. And I think so. We got together. It was December 17th. I know that because I'm looking at the Skype history here. And I remember you said, like, all right, Cashman signed Judge and Rodon, whoop-de-doo. He needs to get rid of one of IKF, Hicks, or Donaldson. Like, find a way. Go be a GM. And they're all still here.
All still sitting there. And just while we've just got Boone saying that, like, you'd be crazy to not think that he's going to rebound. Yeah, most 30. And honestly, if I'm Donaldson, because even if you – let's say Donaldson hits 275 and 25 home runs this year, he's still getting a one-year deal to be traded at a trade deadline. Like, he's still a guy who signs with – Tampa next year, or, you know, or no, signs with the Nationals and gets traded to Tampa.
Yeah,
something like that, right? Like, that's the only path his career is going at this point. Just take steroids, fucking risk it, just juice up and let's, you know, start pumping Adderall. Anything. Like, let's get that focus. Yeah,
after that Todd Frazier half swing that he took in game one, like, yeah, you think we're crazy. I think Boone is trolling. Like, I think this is a troll job. Like, he really lays it on thick with the guys that he knows all the fans hate. Hicks, IKF, and Donaldson, they're going to bounce back. They got a lot left in the tank. The process. I think it's a troll job. I think he does it on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you've got no choice, like, in that scenario, because it is like, when he does that, that's kind of the, like, yeah, I mean, I fucking know what's going on here. You know, there is a bit of like, yeah, I know what the fuck is going on.
If only there would have been a 26-year-old, you know, future Hall of Famer that was begging to be a Yankee to take a discount and is, you know, top five in the MVP every year. Didn't need him, though. We had Miguel Andujar.
We got Miguel Andujar, which is sick.
I think he's out of the league.
I think he's with the Pirates.
Okay, Pirates minor league deal. Sounds about right. The worst team.
Well, I think that's where we traded him. I don't know. I feel like I looked up.
I think we traded him. I think Cashman cut him. I think we got nothing. I think they just
We were going to DFA him, and then he got – he's still with the Pirates.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Third base is still a hole 5 years after passing on Manny Machado. We still don't have a third baseman. And they're saying DJ's going to – come off the bench.
He's saying it's 100%.
What's up?
Do you believe it? DJ is saying he is 100%. Never felt better.
Could be. He had all offseason to recover.
I hope so. We got to get something. Because he's going to have to. I think the DJ story is, you know, like his first year here. He may not be in that lineup opening day. He's an all-star third baseman.
Yeah, I could see that. We have a lot of players that are just stale, I think, and that we're sick of. Like, I'm sick of Torres. I'm sick of Donaldson. I'm sick of Hicks. I'm sick of everyone
who's just, like, let you down, who you feel like, hey, it's predictable. Like, because in our mind, Harrison Bader is a 100 home run guy because that's what we just saw in the postseason.
Right. Yeah, it's like the longer you've been here, the less I like you. You know, Hicks is the longest tenured guy on the team.
That makes sense.
Scary, dude. He's been over here 9 years, 8 or 9 years. What a disaster.
Well, that's because like we're used to, like we grew up on Jeter. A-Rod was here for a long time. Bernie Williams for forever. Posada forever. And people forget that like Judge has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And he signed for forever. So, you know, he's going to be like that. Like, we will have that one, that constant of him.
Yeah, no, and he's got to be better in the playoffs. I know we're kind of jumping around here, but I was looking at it. Like, he was great in the playoffs in 17 and 18, his first two postseasons. You're like, oh, this guy's going to be a force. He embraces the moment. He's going to be a playoff monster. And he's kind of sucked ever since then. And to be honest, watching Bryce Harper – crush bombs every other at bat for the Phillies and seeing like, wow, this is what it's supposed to be like. Like, this is what your superstar power hitter's supposed to do in the postseason. And then seeing what we got, like, that was pretty deflating for me.
Yeah. I've said, I obviously like, I don't like the Judge contract, but that is the contract we got. So now all ideas have to be about working around that contract.
Yes.
And setting expectations because, you know, if he not as part of the again, like I've always talked about his injuries and stuff, he's been healthy of recent. I don't know what he's changed. But let's say he has, you know, a hamstring or something. He misses like a month and he has a great season where he hits 35 home runs. It's like that fucking sucks for 40 million. You know what would be a normal season? So we're going to have to measure our expectations.
Yes. Yes.
I love the conversation about maybe he moves to left field.
I just think that's a cop out because we didn't sign a left fielder. Like, I mean, I guess it's fine, but I'm tired of moving guys around because we don't have anybody to play the position.
Well, I'm viewing it more of so Stanton can play right. Stanton needs to play the field. Like we've seen it the past couple of years, the difference between him just DHing and him being a full-time baseball player who gets some DH days is night and day.
It is.
He's a natural right fielder. It's much less ground to cover. Judge, you know, talks about wanting to play center field, and I get it. You know, oh, you've got the investment, so you've got to kind of protect it. But, like, the first year of this contract, you can't wrap him in bubble wrap like the kid in Little Giants.
Right.
Get out there and fly and make a play.
Yeah, now left field could work for Judge, but how many – what do you think, 2 days a week for Giancarlo in the outfield? I don't think –
Yeah, just something like okay. that. Yeah, okay. I'm not talking about him as an everyday – you know, guy, but and like, I really wouldn't want to move Judge back and forth, although I'm sure he's fine with it. He's still, you know, young enough. So, but yeah, you know, if you could create the opportunity to get Stanton more full days of baseball, I think it's a better thing statistically.
No, it could be better. One thing that does worry me is that we still, Rizzo's the only lefty bat, I guess. Oswaldo Cabrera is a switch hitter, but again, we're having the same conversation where the lefty sticks and we really don't have any.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was, you know, everything we talked about, get a left-handed left fielder on a prove it deal.
They didn't do it.
And
most of the stud hitters are right-handed in the major leagues. Like you have a couple, you have Harper and like, I get it. Most of the good players are right-handed, but there's still guys like we talked about Conforto or Benintendi. Doesn't have to be superstars, but just solid baseball players that are left-handed can put the ball on the short porch 15, 20 times a year and post every day. And we didn't get any. So they're going to run Rizzo out there a lot, even with the bulky back. I'm sure they're hoping they can get, you know, 130, 140 out of him. And maybe Cabrera ends up playing a lot and he's another lefty stick, but that's another thing that just frustrates me. It's the same things talking about every year that they just don't really fix.
It felt like after the season, there's a lot of ways things could have gone with the Judge situation. You know, and if Judge leaves, it changes the whole offseason. Yes. I'm sure we sign a bunch of people because you've got to spend that money. Mm-hmm. But to sign him and be like, we're not done, and then go and get Rodon And it's like, all right, you guys are, you know, Hal's showing it. I feel like the rest was really up to Cashman to, like, have a solution. Like, the first two things weren't, like, you don't have to get creative. It's just give the most money.
Yeah, at a high level.
To get a left fielder would have been, like, figure out a good deal. Figure out, like, Conforto, yeah. $18 million a year for 2 years with the ability to opt out, you know. I don't think I would have loved the contract he got with the Giants for us. But I think you could have gotten the same deal at like $15 million a year if you offered it earlier.
And I would have given Benintendi 75 over 5. I didn't think that was that much. He's 27 or 28. He's a great defender. You know, I would have given him that. But if you think about it at a high level, Hal writes the checks. Cashman's job is to find those diamonds in the rough, make trades, manipulate things, and you're right, he didn't do any of it. So that was definitely frustrating. We're talking about the same things and the same help that they need. I don't want to poo-poo the Rodon signing there. Like, that was massive. I mean, it's cool to sign the best pitcher on the market.
Listen, you go out, you get the best pitcher on the market. It's the same thing we did with Cole. Is he going to be as good as he was last year? I have no idea. Is he going to get injured? Possibly. It could be, you know, injuries that he's dealt with before. He could, you know, roll an ankle. Like, it could all happen. But it's the same thing I said as, like, Cole having to adjust without the sticky stuff. And, you know, there are people who say that the contract's unfair because we were signing based on that. You know, people who like to bitch and moan about the realities of life. Cole goes out there and he competes. And Rodon's going to go out there and compete. And I've talked about it every year. The pitchers like a, you know, like a quarterback room, like the rotation, how, you know, they go to the bullpen together, they walk back together and all that stuff. With Cole as the leader, we had, you know, we had Tanaka in there, we had Kluber in there. Like, we've tried different, you know, Jameson as that, like, second bulldog.
Yeah.
I think Rodon does that. Nestor's bought in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because he's just like, hey, I'm having fun. I'm being successful. He's putting in the work. Then it's like, well, what's the rest of the rotation? Like, what's Seve's mental?
Let's talk about Seve. This walk year? Yeah, I want to talk about Seve. So this is it's a walk year. There's been a lot of tension between the two sides, from him refusing to get into the MRI tube to him complaining last year when they put him on the 60-day IL. There's been a lot of friction between him and Cashman. The writing is on the wall, especially after signing Rodon, that this is Seve's last year. So if I'm Boone, I'm just get out there like you said about Judge last year. Just let him throw 120 pitches a start. I definitely think this is it for him as a Yankee, so run him into the ground. We haven't gotten a full healthy year out of him in half a decade. Let it rip with him this year.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. It was the same mentality of like, yeah, fucking run Judge out there in center field. You want a big contract, you're going to go earn it. We don't have the money. Well, the money that he wants, like for him,
he gave Rodon his money.
yeah. For him to be the guy, like if he comes down, he's 2017 Seve. Good for him. You know, he's good, but we're not going to give him the money. There's definitely a situation where he plays all right and we give him and we offer him an all right deal, but I don't think we want to commit to him multiple years going forward, like a longer deal. Someone will offer him a 5-year deal somewhere. It'll take that for generational wealth. But yeah, I mean, he's got 22 starts in the last 4 years.
And he's injured every part of his body. He's had shoulder, lat, elbow, hamstring. It's not even like it's one thing. It's his entire body's been injured.
Do you think he makes it out of spring training clean?
I do, but there is no way he pitches a full season. There's a better chance of Giancarlo avoiding the IL. Like, Seve is probably my number one candidate to hit the IL on the entire
team.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Somebody's not making it out of camp, though. It's just a matter of who.
Yeah, I mean, so far it's Montas.
Right, which is our annual guys out for the season before spring training even started, when they could have had the surgery 6 months ago guy.
Yeah, also though, like also at the same time, surprising that it didn't happen in like St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like normally around then it's like, oh, well, this guy's back. It turns out it's been tight through every spring training start. And he just didn't say anything. Thought he pitched through it.
And now it's funny because now they're like, oh, the surgery went really well. He might be back in August. It's like, if you believe that, man, I don't
want to tell you. Hey, boom. Spoiler alert. It's basically like making a big trade.
And when you think about the past two deadlines, they gave up basically all of their, not like the Volpes and the Dominguezes, but all of like the next tier guys. There's like that, like tier two. He gave them all up basically for Gallo and Montas and basically got nothing.
Hell yeah. It's sick. Brian Cashman gave himself a 4-year extension.
gave himself. What else we got here? I'm excited about the bullpen. Canley's back. Marinaccio's shin. Wandy's a weapon. King is going to be ready for opening day, they're saying. I think, like every year, I think we'll have a strong pen as long as they all don't get injured.
Which they might. It's weird that we have, there's no one, like, no one premier in the bullpen.
You wouldn't consider Loaizaga?
Maybe he's a premier guy? Baseball player. He's not Chapman. He's not Mariano. Yeah, you're right.
We don't have the names in the high
guys. He's not Andrew Miller, time. Like, yeah, there's just
nobody making over $6 million, probably.
Yeah. So it's just kind of weird. Like, we've, for so long, like, yeah, there have been years where it's like, oh, we're kind of piecing it together. But we've pretty much, like, had steady closure since 1996.
Yeah, it was hard not having a closer in the second half last year. Do you think Holmes just slots back in there, or do you think they mess around a little bit?
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. You know, he's been in the role. Give the guy a little confidence going into camp, see what he could do.
But, and having King back will be massive. They really missed him in the second
half. Yeah, having King back, as long as he rebounds. Having Canley back. I haven't paid close attention to Canley while he's been gone, but as long as he still throws hard, I remember when we traded for him, he was like the throw-in piece.
Yes.
And I remember I was still at Barstool. And I like blogged about how like, no, he's going to be key for like years to have. He's a Pennsylvania guy. He's like a Philly area guy.
Yeah. I know he's a big Eagles fan. So that makes sense. And his personality, that makes sense, too, because he's kind of crazy.
I had let me see where he's from. Let's see. Oh, he says born in Latham, New York. Huh. Shaker High School.
Oh, that's like Albany.
Oh, he's like an Eagles fan. I don't know. I saw someone in Philly in a Yankees Canley jersey with the name on the back. And I was just like, that's got to be a cousin, right?
Yeah, that's way too specific. There's no way there's a random.
In Fishtown. I just was like, what? I tweeted it. I was like, where are you in life when this is happening? And someone was like, yo, that's probably like his family. But yeah. I see no actual ties to Philly other than he likes the Eagles.
Him and Boone. Great.
Yeah. Boone at least has a reason.
Yeah, I guess he grew up here when his dad was playing for the Phillies.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now that makes sense. And Boone's back. We got some new hitting coaches. Maybe that'll help. They added some assistant hitting coaches. You can't go to opening day, right?
I can. I just don't think I'm going to.
Gotcha. Wow. So you're enthusiastic today, but your overall enthusiasm for the season.
So like, here's how I look at it. You know, I got two kids. I got to pick and choose my shots. Mm-hmm. So I can take off on the 30th for an opening day that I have to drive to and from. So I can't really drink. I have to pay for tickets. Like, I can't call in a favor on opening day. Maybe I could, but
you don't have an Amtrak station near you? There's not one in like.
I do, but that I'm not trying to do all that on a Thursday to be like, oh, I'm going to go. I'm going to take the train. Then I got to take the subway.
Yeah.
I got to like come back. That's a billion hour trip.
I know. I've done it a million times.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to skip opening day. I'm trying to like map out I've been looking at the calendar trying to map out like what my game plan is going to be to get to some games. I was disappointed that they don't have a Sunday. They don't have like one of those like 11:30 Sunday games.
Yeah, for your kids, you wanted to do
to bring kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Yeah, but I'm trying to. Did you get a package again this year?
I just do. I have the little 9-gamer, but I donate it to I donate them to underprivileged kids.
Oh yeah, you just do it so that you can buy playoff tickets.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes me feel good. It makes me. Sometimes they send me emails like, "Oh, here's a picture of little Johnny with your tickets."
Oh, really?
Yeah. The organization. It's I should probably. It's Tickets for Kids. So if you ever can't go, Tickets for Kids is a great charity. Yeah, sometimes they'll send me like personalized letters. It makes me. Yeah, it definitely makes me feel good, and I feel like it gives me some, I don't know, karma or something.
Not enough to win a World Series, maybe.
Clearly, maybe. No, but I love doing that, looking at the schedule, like, which games? I got a birthday. I got a, like, today's my half birthday, and they sent me a, here's a 50% off for your half birthday. I was like, oh, this is very specific.
Yeah, I mean, they hammer you with the emails.
I know. It's all the time.
They hammer the shit out of you with the emails.
The sweet ones are hilarious.
So, like, I'm not doing opening day. There's a chance that I'm just like, fuck it, I'll make a run up there that Saturday. Like, I got to, like, see what's going on. Yeah, like, right now I've got Baltimore in July planned, and then I – think there's we're probably not supposed to even talk about it, but I believe there's a Bronx Pinstripes event May 27th,
Memorial Day,
which is a tough one. Memorial Day Saturday is a tough one.
Yeah, that's against the Padres though. That'll be good match.
Yeah, I know. Are you able to just be like, hey babe, I'm gonna go up to New York for the day?
We're both gonna go.
Okay, but you'll have someone who could babysit.
Yeah, her mom lives 10 minutes away.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so, like, that's one that I'm already brainstorming. Like, do we have someone who's available? You know, we've already discussed it. I was like, if I'm going to go, like, I gotta be JJ, which means Jameson. Like, you know, I can't drive. So, yeah. So we'll figure it out. But yeah, no, I don't have a ton of games marked off yet.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, there's a lot of April's the weather is so shitty, and they have a lot of home
games. It's so shaky.
In April.
Yeah.
Especially a night game. Like, I was like, oh, maybe April 14th is a Friday against the Twins, but I'm like, oh, that could be 48 degrees and raining at night.
Yeah.
In April.
Yeah. I do think I'm going to go to Denver.
Oh, it's like mid-July, right? No, that looks cool.
It's coming out of the All-Star break. My sister lives out there, so like I'll just get an Airbnb near her, get the kids together, go to a game.
No, that's a good one. They're in LA in early June. This balanced schedule is weird. It's weird looking at it. It'll never not be weird.
We're the only play in LA.
What's up?
The Dodgers never come to New York.
Yeah, I realize that.
Time in a row.
You're right. Yeah.
I mean, they'll come next year, but like it's weird that that's how it worked out.
Yeah, and the Subway Series games again—they're doing the Tuesday, Wednesday bullshit, which is always dumb. I did read something that the balanced schedule actually helps us because we're in a like if you're in a good division,
we play less AL East. Yeah, we get to play the NL West, you know, so that's fucking good instead of a couple Red Sox games. Yeah, no, the like. Denver looks cool as in a way. St. Louis, I think in theory looks cool as in a way. But yeah, not many great like road games to go to.
No.
But like, yeah, I mean, just give us Mets Yankees on a weekend. But the thing is, like, I think they sell them out anyway. So no one, you know, it doesn't really matter to them. And I don't know, not living in New York and like not being around Met fans, I don't care about those games any more than any other game.
No, I don't. I'd rather beat the Phillies because I know more Phillies
people. Yeah, that's what it is. Like when you're in New York, it's just like, yeah, you know, like you're in it. You could feel the energy in the city. Not from this far away.
Pirates are on a weekend. That could be September 15th. That'll be all Yankee fans. That could be cool. Do you think we win the division this year?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
you answered that quickly.
I think we're a good team. I just feel like we don't like we haven't jumped a hurdle. I don't feel like we're remarkably improved from last year.
No.
Without some guys will play better. You know.
Right. Yeah. And the Astros lineup's going to be better with Abreu. They let Verlander walk, but they just have an army of stud pitchers. It did. I'll be honest. Like, after that guy no hit us, Christian Javier, and then he shut us down when we went to game three, like seeing him no hit the Phillies, I was like, all right, it wasn't just us. Like, it definitely helped.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we win the division. I just look at the way we're constructed, and it's like, I know Cole's going to be there at the end, right? I'm hopeful Rodon is going to be there at the end. You know, he's dealt with injury stuff before, so it's not out of the question, but I believe he'll be there. He's a gamer. It's a big question year for Nestor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, just like figure out, like, just who are you? You know, are you, you know, you don't have to be Greg Maddux, but, you know, hey, are you Jamie Moyer?
Give me a 3-5. Give me a 3-5 or lower.
Yeah. Like, I don't need you to be an all-star. I don't need 6 no-hit innings every, like, 4 starts just to, like, you know, go out there, get the job done, have fun, throw the bucket of bubble gum. But, like, are we going to get that? I don't know. Seve, we've already talked about, like, a lot of just questions around him in general, attitude and physical. And then who's at the end? Clark Schmidt? What do we have there? Is it Herman? Like, how is he still around?
Scumbag.
Like, I thought he was a trade piece if Montas, you know, isn't injured.
Yeah, do you have something a preference on him or Schmidt for the fifth spot?
No, just whoever's good.
Yeah, I feel like I don't. I do feel like I'm always going to hate Clark Schmidt for blowing that. It was a game 3 against Cleveland when we were one strike away from winning, and I was at a wedding, and we remember you said that was the saddest I ever looked, and we did the.
Yeah. Yeah, you were really depressed.
I'm never going to forgive him for that.
Yeah, he it's tough. It's not an ideal situation to be in. So I just don't feel like, with not knowing what's going on at shortstop, not knowing what's going on at third base, like, third base relies on either a 37-year-old rebounding, or what's DJ, 32?
He's 34, 35 at this point.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, but like them rebounding, not just like from the 34, not just rebounding from the standpoint of like production, but like from a physical standpoint. Like, it doesn't get easier to come back from injuries that take most of your season. We don't have a left fielder. We know our DH that we should have in the field some, because it helps his like mental play better, is going to be injured at some point. Like, I think part of it is the Judge contract, that it's over, that it's done. Cause there had been the like, well, they're going to get every year. It's like they went out there, they got this guy, we're close. Cash God's going to make another deal. And then, like, we'll get this World Series before Judge's contract is up. So you go into it with, like, post-nut clarity.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And we did not. So it doesn't feel like – the contract doesn't feel like pressure. Like, in 2009, when we were – you know, for 2009, when we went out, we got AJ, we got CeCe, and we're making moves. It felt like there was a pressure. Like, well, they went out and spent this much. Gotta deliver on it. They're not spending the most money. They're not spending as much money as, like, to fans in 2009, it was like, you were like, there's a pressure to get it done. We can't believe how much money you guys are spending, but like, thank you. Now they're spending way more money, and we're like, that's not a fucking enough. You know what a hot dog costs, Hal? You know what you're charging for a hot dog? And I can't get Conforto. So it's a different, like, I don't know, it's a different vibe for going out and getting the best available hitter and the best available pitcher.
Yeah, and it's just not as exciting retaining your own guys. Like, when we signed Cole, it was fucking exhilarating. Like, I've never seen Yankees Twitter so unified over something. The excitement on the Jeff Passan Cole announcement tweet, like, when you steal somebody else's guy, it's, what number are they gonna wear? What are they gonna be? When you retain your own guy, it's like, oh, you know, great. It's just different.
Gotcha.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Shortstop. Who do you think will be at shortstop on opening day, and who do you want at shortstop on opening day?
I think the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees for the 2023 season is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Okay.
I think it is.
I think so too. I want Peraza, and I think I can. Like they're saying they're going to give all three guys an equal shot, but you just know it's going to be IKF there.
Here's the thing. In spring training, like if you're trying to win, you can give two guys a fair shot. You can't give three guys a fair shot.
No.
You can't give each guy a third of playing time. You're going to favor, you know, towards starting IKF because he's got the major league experience, so you got to let him get the at-bats in spring training against the major league starters. Yeah, there's split squad games, and you don't play every day, and so there are at-bats to go around, but you're not facing the best people because they're not sending guys on the road. So it is going to be interesting to see how it shakes out, but I think it starts with IKF.
What about on Memorial Day when we're there against the Padres? So May 27th, do you think it's still IKF or do you think one of the kids is up by then?
Just hammer drunk with babysitters at home.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If Peraza is in AAA and not, you know, riding the bench and he's producing and IKF is struggling, then yes. But aside from a large number of errors on balls hit directly at him, which is insane, he didn't have a terrible season, you know, overall, when you look at the numbers.
Yeah,
but
no, I know.
But if Peraza's going to come out, Peraza has shown 30 home run potential. But we have seen young shortstops who maybe, you know, could project a little better at second base or third base slide in at shortstop, hit 30 home runs, chase 30 home runs, and then they're, you know, 50-50 players that you'd like to trade to the Marlins.
Yeah, no, I think so. So with Volpe, I would just delay the inevitable – or not – I would just forget the inevitable and just move him – start getting him work at second. Like, it's clear Peraza's way better than him defensively, and Peraza, I think, is going to be the shortstop of the future. Just make Volpe a second baseman or third, whatever you think you want to do with him, but there's no way his glove is as good as Peraza. Like, Peraza can flash at short.
He can. I just think they're going to – I want to be wrong. I don't think anything that I'm saying – there may be people who don't like what I'm saying, but you have no reason to believe that the Yankees are going to do anything other than start IKF at shortstop to start the season with us all being like, what the fuck is going on for a while. But – there's still a world where we move a Glaber in spring training, and maybe that gets us a left fielder or another pitcher or something like that. Or it gives us the flexibility to package him with a Hicks or a Donaldson, you know, to get some money off and give up, you know, a couple prospects. But those are all things we really wanted to happen when there was going to be a free agent market to play in and see who you can get.
Yeah, no. And with Glaber, I don't, the people that are against trading him, I just, I have to ask, are you ready to give him a 7-year, $180 million? Like, are you ready to commit to this guy? He doesn't even run out of the box when he doesn't have a contract. The streakiness, the lapses in concentration. I think he was the worst player in the entire league in August last year. He's just too streaky. I don't understand. Like, you can either trade him now, let him walk and get nothing, or commit $200 million to him. I don't understand how you could pick any option other than trading him.
So, you know, we've got him, you know, for this
two
year
more
and
years.
Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, he's streaky. He's not, you know, he's not a superstar is what we've learned. And I know, yes, he's been an all-star, but it hasn't been trending in the right direction. And I've said time and time again, I think if you look at every game he ever played, you'd be like, oh, it'd be about half good, half bad. So while he has the value that normally if you were a team that wasn't trying to compete for a World Series every year, this would be a great time to trade him for a massive haul of prospects to a team that is, you know, one piece away. I think there's an opportunity for a middling team who thinks like maybe they know something that they can, you know, get out of him and has the ability to take on some money from, you know, a Hicks deal or something. Then it makes sense for them. But yeah, no, that'd be I don't great. Think we're going to get the left-handed hitting left fielder back.
Oh, that, no, I'm just looking at
recoup supplemented in. Yeah, but I what I'm saying is if we had done that, then it's much easier to go get a Conforto.
Yeah, no, it would free up salary. It would free up space. They do have to trade Hicks. Speaking of the salary thing, Hicks gets his 10-5 rights in August. So if they don't trade him by the deadline, they're stuck with him for the rest of the contract. So, I mean, you could see them. I could even see them like, all right, we'll eat 80% of the contract or something ridiculous just to get rid of him. Because once August 1st or whatever the date hits, you're stuck with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to give him the opportunity to go out there in spring training and, like, you know, improve himself. He's not going to. You know, like, we know he's not going to prove himself. So, I don't think he is 10 and 5 yet. 1, 2.
It's in August.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's only 7 years with the Yankees.
Oh, 10 years
in the league. 5, yeah. Fuck.
I know.
Fuck.
And I just want to go back to the IKF thing where you said, like, we all know IKF's going to be the starting shortstop. And I hate to keep bringing up the Astros because I just have this inferiority complex with them. But you look what they did with Jeremy Peña. He was 20 years old. They slotted him in opening day. He wins ALCS MVP, World Series MVP, and wins the World Series. Like, trust your kids, guys. Look around the league.
Like, yeah, that was Peraza. Listen, I'm all in. I have no objection to, you know, it wasn't, you know, who do you want to be starting? Who do you think should be starting? I don't think that we are like, I think we do need a spark that a judge can't give that same energetic spark if he goes out and hits 60 home runs again because he's making $40 million. So it's not, he's not chasing something. There's that extra element. Rodon as a starter, you can't every fifth day be that thing. You need a kid going out there and playing every day and just create, you know, shaking things up a little bit, being aggressive on the base path. I mean, we watched it last year. We watched Cabrera bounce all around the field, great time. It was a shot in the arm, like a certain level of energy that rolling out Rizzo, Donaldson, Glaber, and IKF does not give.
Well, it's an older team now. Rizzo, 33, 34.
The baby bombers are old.
Yeah, done. DJ, like we said, 34. Donaldson's old. Hicks is 33. Stanton's 30, I think 33. Judge will be 31. I do think Judge, I mean, he's not going to have as good a year as last year, obviously, but I do think he's finally figured out how to lay off the low and away slider, it seems like. So I do think his OBP should be around 400 again. Like, he's not going to hit 60 bombs, but I think he could have like a 390, 400 OBP again.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to have like good seasons. I think he has shown the past couple of years that like he could stay healthy. And do I add a little extra optimism because we've got the contract and it, you know, that's not changing? Maybe. So, he's going to go out there and perform. I just think he's not going to hit 60 home runs again. I think when we see one, I mean, the Goldilocks balls, like we were getting, they want big home runs. I get it. They're trying to sell tickets. At the end, like, you know, kind of guys kind of getting in the groove, getting in on the fun of the chase. I think you see some extra pitches. And, you know, batting leadoff, like we're not going to do things like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was, they didn't bat him. Did they bat him leadoff in the playoffs? I don't even, they kind of mixed it up.
No, I think they dropped, they dropped him down.
Yeah. No, I know they mixed it up. We started three different shortstops in four ALCS games. They really had no plan. It's like,
yeah. No, it was a crapshoot. And that's what I fear is all we have. So put Peraza out there. Let him be that spark, because let guys like, I think if you have a guy at shortstop who's just out there getting it done, and I'm not talking about hitting 30, 35 home runs. I'm talking playing some great defense, getting a clutch hit every once in a while, batting 265,
yes,
270, yes, in a dream, like 290, it, like eighth in the order.
18 home runs, 17 home runs, little pop.
I think Aaron Judge as the captain can feed off that and use that to be a, like a leader, use that energy to project it to other guys. Because it was a bad year last year, and I think if Donaldson comes out looking like shit this year, it's just a black hole of energy that's going to be around the team in general, even if you bench him.
It does seem like he's got a weird energy to him. Do you think if he – all right, so the season starts and he's hitting 208 with no power. Do you think they get to a point in June, July where they just cut him to free up the roster spot, or do you think Cashman's too stubborn?
I can see that happening.
Yeah, right?
I can see that happening.
Like with A-Rod. I mean, it wouldn't be the same as A-Rod, but something like that. Like, you know what?
Yeah, just like, hey, this isn't working out. We've got some, you know, the horse is out of the barn on the money. So, you know, and no one's going to want you. So we'll DFA you, you do whatever. I could see that happening.
I want to talk about Volpe real quick. I am terrified of the expectations that they're putting on this kid. And it's not like it's just external guys, like their own player development people. He's got the makeup of Jeter, most special kid we've seen in years. Like, I hope it works out, and I hope he has a great career. But I really think they are not setting him up to fail, but they're setting the bar so high, man.
So much, it's so much pressure. But like, that's, you know, that's the media nowadays.
Yeah,
is they're just trying to like, you know, get they're just trying to. You know, they need something to talk about in the offseason.
An Italian kid from North Jersey, you know, they're like.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a beautiful thing, but it's a lot of pressure.
It is. I hope he's great, though. I think they're going to wait till like, I think they're really going to slow play him. I would guess July. Like, I think Peraza will be May, but I think Volpe will be like July.
Yeah, I mean, if someone gets injured, it could always speed it up for someone. But yeah, I think they're going to hold on to him until like July. That could be, you know, if you're getting nothing out of Donaldson, it could be a, you know, where you make a roster move to be like,
has he ever played third? Volpe?
I don't know.
I know they talked about it. Oh, if they sign one of the shortstops, they could move him to third, and they never signed one. One just goofy thing.
I haven't seen that he just like, he projects as more of a second baseman.
Yeah, no, I've seen that too. I've seen that like at short, best case scenario is he'd be average.
Yeah.
And Peraza's like could be a Gold Glover.
It's one of those things where like, you know, I think for fans who pay a lot of attention, which if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do. I want to see what we have. Like, I finally just want to see what we have, because we did like, okay, we had Judge. He's a 6'7" fucking monster. So like, he was going to be good. We got Gary, who we had since he was 16. So we had heard so much that like some of the luster wore off. we had gotten Glaber. He got hurt, so it was exciting that he came up and he got the, you know, the shot and was performing well. These, like, you know, the baby bombers. Then it feels like we kind of missed on a generation of, like, you know, little Pedro and, you know, King and Clark Schmidt haven't been what they were supposed to be. Like, you know, we were hugging all these prospects and Duhar to a certain extent. Clint didn't work out. So, like, I'm ready for another one to work out on a large scale, not just like a couple months at the end of the season.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. I always forget Michael King was supposed to be a starter. Like, I was thinking, like, he worked out, but then he was supposed to be, like, a starter. He's a good reliever. Yeah, no, some of these guys have to
hit. I just, like, I want to see – but, like, I want to see if they're who they are. I feel like with those guys, like, we waited so long. We didn't trade. We didn't do anything. And then we brought them up after we knew they weren't shit. Like, organizationally, we probably knew these guys aren't going to be that good.
It does seem like they bungled it, and they even did it with Peraza last year. Like, they called him up, whatever, September 4th, and they played him, like, once a week. They gave him, like, random at-bats. They never got him into a rhythm, and then they got to the ALCS, like, oh, you're starting game one. It's like, do you guys even think about – it really seemed like it was just some drunk guy going, yeah, you know, you play today.
Yeah. No, there was no, like, no game plan. Like you said, there was just, we were flying blind once it got to the playoffs, and it was a panic pointed at, like, one guy in IKF who, like, yes, could have done more. Every position could have done more, but he wasn't the biggest letdown of the playoffs at all. Like, we didn't get swept because of him.
No, we got swept because Judge didn't hit. The pitching was actually, like, looking back at it, the pitching was actually okay. The starting pitchers kept them in the game. They just didn't hit. And you know what? It's every year. It's, again, same conversation. These guys have never hit in the postseason. You know, they hit 180 in the Guardians series. Even the series that they won, they didn't hit.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I feel like we're stuck in 2019 when you're just like, oh, Gary's up with two runners on. Well, this inning's over. Oh, Edwin Encarnacion is up when he's been lighting on fire all season. And it's, you know, he's going to roll into a double play. It was just that feeling of, like, you know, the guy, you wonder, like, are the other fans, like, is there some guy in fucking Cleveland right now who's worried? Because he shouldn't be, because I know what's going to happen.
No, man, you're right. It's basically if we're in the playoffs, we beat the team if we're playing the AL Central, and we lose if it's, like, one of our rivals. Like, we lost to the Rays, we lost to the Red Sox, we lose to the Astros. That's, we're stuck in the ALCS rut, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
On a lighter note, so the Yankees do these, like, when the players walk in and they're like, oh, what's your favorite ice cream flavor? What's your favorite movie character? And DJ LeMahieu just refuses to answer the questions. It's incredible. It's my favorite thing that they do. Have you seen
these?
He's
just like, where he's just like, yeah, I got, like, he has no interest in anything that is not, like, that's not hitting baseballs.
They were doing, what's your favorite Mario Kart character? And guys are going, Yoshi, Luigi, Mario. And he's just like, pass, no comment. It's like, dude.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, dude, it's great. And then they did favorite cereal, and he declined to answer too. Like, dude, this is very easy. You know, it's supposed to be fun stuff, buddy. I love him, though. I love it.
Yeah. It's yeah, I mean, some of the shit, like, I'm kind of tired of seeing the, like, oh, the here's what's walking in today. Like, I'm just not excited. I think, and it's not the players. Like, I'm angry at Brian Cashman.
I am too, but it's also the way the season went. Like, we were on fire the first half. Like, that season last year started as well as any season I can remember, and as well as you could imagine. Oh, and it still ended with Houston celebrating on our field. Like, that's what's – it's just like, I feel like no matter how the season goes, it's going to end with Houston popping champagne in our clubhouse again.
Yeah, like, maybe if we can get that far. I mean, I hope that there is some larger plan that we don't know about, and Cashman's got some idea. I just don't. Again, I'm excited. I'm excited to be talking baseball. I'm excited to be I'm excited to be thinking about going to the stadium. I'm excited for when I'm going to the stadium. I'm excited to go to Baltimore. You know, all the things around like baseball, I am so excited for. I just, there is something missing to get us to that next step.
100%. One non-Yankee thing I wanted to kind of pick your brain about. So you live in South Jersey, 100% basically Phillies, Eagles territory. You know, I live in Newtown. It's a little bit more north, a little bit closer to New York, but it's still a Philly market. The Phillies were up 2-1 in the World Series. They ended up losing. The Eagles were up, you know, 10 points in the Super Bowl. They ended up losing. It was basically like six straight months of Philly hype after the Yankee season ended. Like, how did you handle that? How was that for you? Was it annoying?
So I have, until you asked me about it, I have for the most part like blacked out the World Series.
Yeah.
Just like kind of forgot that that happened. And I think that's like a good place to be.
The Jeter way.
Yeah. So, but I would say more aware, or it's just fresher, the Eagles Super Bowl. And, you know, because you see it every Sunday. You go to the supermarket like, oh, I'm going to grab something. Everybody's in Eagle shit. Everybody is in Eagle stuff. And I've lived in New York most of my life. I've lived in Florida at times. I've never seen anything like the way Eagles fans are always in Eagle shit. The way I've put it is I underestimated how much pleasure I would get out of watching people who I truly love be absolutely miserable and devastated. Does that make sense?
That's perfectly said. No, I feel the same way, dude. I was rooting so hard against them. Because you're right. It's just the hype. It's like everywhere you go, it's like I go to the Knack, the kid checking me in is wearing a Dawkins jersey. I'm like, he retired 20 years ago. And it's almost like it's not even for them. It's not even about like the actual football, like the X's in between those. It's almost more of just like a pride. It's like a cultural thing. I don't even know how to describe it.
And like, hey, good for them.
Yeah.
You know, like it's tough to hate on them, like really enjoying it. For the Phillies, I just didn't think that – I didn't think they were going to win. I didn't think they stood a chance at winning the World Series against the Astros. Like after we had just got our shit pushed in, yeah. I was like, that was a very exciting NLCS. Like good for them. But that's not going to keep going. Like you run out of that momentum. When you play, you know, you play more games and then you're running into the buzzsaw that is this team that just like kicked our asses.
Yeah. No, yeah. I know it just would have been weird seeing everybody have like a baseball, like honestly seeing them and seeing all my friends watching the World Series. I was just like, man, like this is supposed to be me. I'm the one that watches baseball 3 hours a night, 160 times a year. And like they're getting to watch World Series games. I was so jealous, dude. So jealous.
Yeah, as long, like there's the occasional person I'd hear from. I think I'd made it like pretty clear. Like if you talk shit to me about the World Series and you've ever cheated on your wife, I'm gonna tell her. I like put that out there with
I thought
my,
about
like,
you're dead things. Serious about this.
Yeah, no, and there are like guys because like the people who would say something to me are the guys who do that.
That's that's so funny. Didn't get that serious for me, but that's hysterical. Well,
I'll do it. No. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be doing this and talking to you and, you know, hopefully seeing a bunch of people out at games, whether it's at like Bronx Pinstripes events or just other games that we're going to. But yeah, I just, you know, and maybe the juices will flow. It's 2 days till, you know, this comes out tomorrow. So it'll be like one more day until the first spring training game.
But yeah, we got the Phillies on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll start to catch that. Oh, we'll get to catch the local broadcast here.
Talk about Bucks County high school soccer.
Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah. Bishop Shanahan girls field hockey.
Everything has Bishop or Holy are wholly in it. I watched the documentary about the basketball ref that fixed the games, Tim Donaghy. You know he's from Tim Delco? Donaghy.
Yeah. There's like a Delco, like a area Delco that like many NBA refs are from. It's like a hotbed for NBA refs.
Random. The Phillies are starting Nick Nelson against us on Saturday.
Let's go. Let's fucking go. Doughy face Nick. Fucking get it. Get it, my guy. I hope he throws a no-hitter. That's my dog. So a couple other things I want to talk about.
All right.
Derek Jeter on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Too much Jeter. I need less Jeter in my life. I like my Jeter like an eclipse. I need to come, you know, I feel like I'm getting too much exposure. Like, it was like, oh, cool, he's doing the documentary. Oh, he's participating in it. Oh, he's in an insurance commercial during it. That's weird. Okay. Now he's just popping up more and more. Now
Subway. The Subway commercials are embarrassing.
Yeah. And it's like, now you're going to be on Fox with him. Like, I didn't want him on Yes either. It's not a, like, Fox versus Yes. Like, just, I don't need him like that. Like, give me an old-timer's day. Let's, like, phase me back into Jeter.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. The other thing is he's made it clear he doesn't enjoy watching baseball, never watched baseball, doesn't like talking about baseball. Like, why is he going to be an analyst? He told us he doesn't watch the games.
Plus, like, I mean, he's shown more than he ever has, but, like, part of doing, like, that gig is, like, being goofy. Like, A-Rod's goofy, David Ortiz is goofy.
Yeah,
they know baseball, you know. Pete Rose is goofy. He was there for a while.
Yeah.
Frank Thomas, not that goofy, not there all the time.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. It would suck to see him fail at this.
Yeah, but no, I agree with you. It's like too much. It's more fun when he comes like the Jeter night thing was cool. Like every once in a while, but what is it? Is it only for the Saturday primetime spot or is it like during the week?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the slot is, but I just know I'm going to see more Jeter than I need to.
And why would he take a job with A-Rod? None of it makes sense to me.
They had to back up the Brinks truck. But it's also like, I don't know, you bought a small piece of the Marlins. You had to sell it. Values go up, so you probably just made some money.
Yeah.
You made a lot of money. Do you need money, Derek? Is that what it is? I think the fans would come out of pocket for like a GoFundMe for Derek Jeter to not be overexposed.
To stop the Subway commercials. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Subway? Man, you picked the worst chain in America to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not ideal. And then the other thing is there's another documentary coming out. Like, don't need it. Don't. People were like, oh, I'm so excited. I don't need another documentary to remind me how long it's been since the Yankees won a World Series.
Yeah, it's just like it gets to a point where it's not fun. Like I watched every game in 2009. I could tell you what happened in every playoff game. You know, 2000. It gets boring. It's not as fun celebrating the past when you're not winning in the present.
And you feel like you should have been. You know, like when we got into like 2014, 2015, like some of those like lighter years. I mean, we knew what we had. And now we know that we've had a lot of potential recently that has not lived up to it. So I think, you know, that makes it harder. But again, excited, upbeat, trying to be positive. Don't want to be a Debbie Downer all season.
And we're both going to watch it, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Like, going to watch all the games, going to go to a bunch of games. Like, I mean, I do this every year. Like, I would still put the – you know, there's always a chance that I'll be like, yeah, no, I'd need to go to opening day. Like, you never know what I'm going to do leading up to it. So I just wish they had done a little more. If we had Michael Conforto in left field. If you told me that we were going to trade Gleyber Torres and Aaron Hicks and get probably nothing in return, really, maybe, you know, a couple lotto tickets. And then we had signed Conforto. And we were going to have play Peraza at short, IKF at third, DJ at second. Everything else is the same. I feel a lot better about this team.
Oh, me too. Or if it was Benintendi, either of those guys, I'd be really fired up.
Yeah, I with Conforto, it was like I really just wanted a short-term contract, like where we didn't have to commit 5 years. I think that's what they wanted too. I don't know. Obviously, they don't consult with me, so I don't know if they had Conforto talks. But that's what I thought would have made the most sense. And I was surprised he got 18 a year for 2 years with the ability to opt out with 350 at bats. But I think the Yankees, could have got him for less, for maybe 15, and done the same deal.
Yeah, no, I do too. What last thing before we wrap up? So you made a comment like, oh, it'd be interesting to see how your kid affects fandom or whatever. I got a lot of people in my life, it seems like, doubting, my ability to get to games. What would
I'm not
say?
Doubting your ability to get to games.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm just interested how you're going to adjust. I know you're going to get there. Okay. I'm curious the path that it takes to get there.
What will I sacrifice to get there?
Almost. Yeah, I'm just curious. Like, listen, you're going to do a little beg, borrowing, and stealing. You've got a very cool wife. I have a very cool wife. But you still, that you're taking a little extra when you go do something like that.
Yeah. For
sure. So, when it's like, hey, I got to, I got to this game. So I got to go to whatever, I'm going to miss whatever to go to, we got to go take pictures at Longwood Gardens or, whatever Philly area thing for pictures that are, you don't necessarily need when we're trying to break a 3-game losing streak. These are the things that are going to be interesting. I know you're going to get to games. I do not doubt that. And again, I'm curious, how often the grandparents are there, often the grandparents are like, hey, yeah, we're down to do it. As kids move around and grandparents get older, it gets, tougher and tougher for them to keep up. So it's, it's an interesting adjustment. And you being a super fan, I'm just interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited.
I think you'll be successful.
Yeah, no, it'll be good.
Stay together. There's no, I have no ill will by saying
No, I know. It's more other people. If I had a dollar for every time, how are you going to go to games? Shut the fuck up. I'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah. People said the same thing with me. And so that's why I made COVID happen. So I had that year to adjust. I was just like, this is a shock to the system. And then I reached out to the liberal overlords and had them start this up.
Hell yeah.
Now I'm lifting COVID for you.
So thank you.
We're back. We're back. I think that's all we got. It's a little all over the place. We're still kicking the rust off, but we're excited. We just need a left fielder.
Good to be back. We'll be on a little bit of a weird schedule maybe for a few weeks, but nothing's going on anyway, so who gives a shit?
Oh, yeah. While we get through spring training, Nick has some travel for work coming up. So we'll probably – some episodes will come out on – today's Thursday, right? Yeah, so some episodes will come out on Friday, probably next week too. And we'll work our way back to our usual recording on Mondays for Tuesday drop. We start off by telling you we're not that dedicated to this. So it'll come out when it comes out, and we can hang out at the bar if you see it. We're no one special. Not trying to make a living here. You can follow Nick on Twitter.
At NKirbyNYY.
Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Follow the show at George's Box Pod. Oh, I don't know. Are you friends with Dan? Are you friends with Juski on Facebook?
Yeah. I don't know about Facebook.
He's married. He got married. He's on his honeymoon right now. I don't know if he still even listens to the show, but congratulations,
Juski. Yeah. He was cool. I liked him, man.
Yeah, he was a good guy. He flew up for us getting our shit pushed in by the Phillies. And then, we were no fun to hang out with. It's just I'm sad. I have my baby here. So that's all we got. Follow us. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we'll see you at the parade.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.